Okay, since the previous Mishnah dealt with individuals and with groups, their definition, the current Mishnah deals with mixtures. First, mixtures of individuals with individuals, and then individuals mixed with groups. You can guess that the next Mishnah, the third Mishnah in the third parak, is going to deal with groups mixed with groups. So firstly, let's look at the Mishnah itself. Chata sheni darva ba'ola va'ola b'chatas. A chatas bird gets mixed up with an ola bird, or an ola with a chatas bird. Now remember, these birds are identical, so you can't tell them apart. What's different about them is how they were designated to be used on the mizbeach. So afidu echad beribo, even one of these birds gets mixed up with 10,000 birds, yamutu kulam. You can't use any of them. So if I had one chatas bird gets mixed up with a bunch of ola birds, there's no way I can put my hand into that box and take one out and know which one it is. And likewise, if I have an ola bird gets mixed up with a bunch of chatas birds, there's no way I can stick my hand in there and know what it is. And that's a problem, okay? Why they say yamutu kulam? So first of all, why is it a problem? They retain their status. They don't lose their status. Loss of status is something we'll see in the second parak. Another reason is because the Kohen is the agent and he doesn't want to get koris. So if he knows they're mixed up, then he's intentionally going to be doing something wrong if he tries to use any of the birds, that there's a possibility that he got something wrong. And the third thing is, since it's unintentional, we're going to deal with intentional but we're going to deal with the other kind of case where he didn't know and he used it unintentionally, okay? And that's the third going to see in the third parak. What basically this is going to come out to be is a halacha is trying to take responsibility for its answers, and we'll see that in a critical mishnah in the second parak. Okay, regarding Tsar Ba'achayim, this bothers a lot of people that it's Yamutu Kulam, that you leave all these birds to die. First of all, the basic answer is it's really not. Tsar Ba'achayim is active. You got to chop off a limb of a living animal, and we're not doing that here. We're just putting them in some kind of a room or box or corral where we know they're set aside not to be used, and we're not going to feed them because there's no point in feeding them. But secondly, it's really not a hermetically sealed escape-proof container that's set aside, and we'll see that in the second parag of Masechet Kinim. So if you're worried about the Tsar Balei Chayim thing, there are birds that can escape from here, and we'll see that later, and they're not going to cause us problems either. Okay, so after the definitions that we had in the first Mishnah, the first logic that we see in this body of halacha, the second Mishnah, is the change of status if we have something added into a mixture. Normally you would try to say something is soluble. It's mavatal in shishim, or it's mavatal in something else. And that's familiar to everybody from Basar and Chalav. Except here that doesn't work because these objects have significance. It's a living bird. So when I try to explain this to kids, I give them the example. Look, let's say I have a factory that has vitamin tablets, and of course the vitamin tablets are only a few milligrams of vitamins, so most of the tablets are made up of some inert binder. It's a sugar powder or starch or something. And because rodents like to eat these things, so around in the factory they put out these little trays of tablets which are rat poison. Great. Well, schlamazel that it is, these rat poison tablets look just like the uncoated vitamin tablets. And one day somebody accidentally kicks one of these trays and one of these poison pills falls into the vat of 10,000 vitamin tablets. They all look the same. They all smell the same. Okay, you want to take responsibility for using all the tablets or not? So let's see what happens to the tablets if you would say you can use them. They get put into bottles, and of course in the supermarket or the grocery store where they're the pharmacy where they sell these, they fill up a whole shelf of these because that makes the consumer think that vitamins are really important. Great, so somebody buys one of these bottles, but half of the bottles are going to go back and wind up in the landfill or ground up into asphalt or something. So somebody buys one of these bottles, and the first couple of weeks, maybe they're really enthusiastic, they got to take their vitamins every day, great. But after a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they become kind of lax, and maybe if they remember and see the bottle, they'll take one. The kids are most of the vitamins in the bottle are probably going to get disposed of before Pesach because they're chumetz. So, what's the chances if you would talk about probability that somebody's going to take the poison tablet? It's really, really low. Now you go the other side. Do you want the responsibility of saying that these tablets are okay for human consumption when somebody might die from taking one of them? So this is an example where you can't use butyl. Just because it's 1 in 10,000 doesn't help you. Significance of an object doesn't mevatel. And so the first thing you normally try to do in ordinary halacha is, can I use the shortcut of butyl and get out of the problem? And here you have an example of a kind of problem where you can't use butyl. Okay? Now, let's discuss how to fix this case. So if I had a chatas gets mixed up with a bunch of oldas, or an olda gets mixed up with a bunch of chatas, none of these were brought, and the person who was responsible to bring the chatas or the olas has to go out and get new birds to fulfill their obligation of bringing chatas or ola. That's easy. Okay? Now let's look at individuals mixed with groups. You have chatas shenitarva bechova. Okay, ein kosher eda kaminin chatas shebechova. So I have a chatas bird, and it gets mixed up with a chova bird, which a pair of chovas, which I'll represent as X. Okay, I try to take the first bird out of here. Who could it be? It could be the chatas that flew in, or it could be one of the chova birds. Either way, I can use it as a chatas, because there is one chatas in the chova birds. Now let's try to take the second bird. If the first bird that I used was the chatas, then all I have left is chova birds, which I can use either way because I haven't used any of them yet. If the first bird that I used was from the chova, then the second bird is either the chatas, which is still there, or it's one of the chova birds. Now I have a problem. Can I resolve to use the second bird, where there are three possibilities who the second bird is? If it's this one, I can do whatever I want. I can make it a chatas or an ola. If it's this one, I have to use it as a chatas. But if it's this one, I use this one already as a chatas, and there's only one chatas and one ola there, so this one has to be used as an ola. Sorry, guys. That's as far as you can go. That's a critical boundary, because after that, you risk making a mistake. Okay? So basically what we're seeing here is a diagram which you can prove to yourself that Sfeik Sfeika works. This is the simplest kind of Sfeik Sfeika, because it's the same problem each time that I'm going to go down the tree. Okay? So this would also be true if I had an ola mixed up with a chova. Then the first bird could be an ola, or the first bird could be from the chova, in which case I'd have to use it as an ola. The second bird, if the first one was an ola, then the second one I can do whatever I want, which would be the chatas. But if the second one could be the ola bird, or could be one of the chova birds, then I would have to use the chatas. Exactly the reverse. Okay? So the kain ola shenitarva bechova, ein kosher eda kaminin ola shebechova. Okay, so first of all, we saw that there are places where you can't use butyl. So the next thing you try to use in ordinary halacha is, let's see if we can get out of this in Sfeik Sfeika. And here's the simplest form of Sfeik Sfeika, Sfeik on Sfeik, where we do the same thing over and over. Now comes the seifa of the Mishnah, the second part, which always has a kind of trick in it. Ben shehachova merubava hanedava memuetet, if the chova is a large number and the nedava is a small number, ben shehanedava merubava hachova metuetet, if the nedava is a large number and the chova is a small number, ben sheshnehem shavot, if the number of nedava birds, which are ola, and the number of chova birds, which are these entangled pairs, are the same number. So let's look at the three cases here. This is going to get a little surprising. So, ben shehachova merubava hanedava memuetes. Well, I've got four chova birds, and I only have, the nedava is an ola, right? So I take one bird out, it's either from the chova or it's the ola. I take the second bird out, it could be from the chova or it could still be the ola.
Okay, and I really have, in here, I have two Ola birds and two Chatas birds. So it's okay if I use the second bird, because here it could be whatever you want. Here it has to be an Ola. Here it could be a Chatas or an Ola. So the way to resolve this is, I can use this as an Ola, and I can use this as an Ola. But when I get down to the next one, I don't know which of these I did. So here, this third bird has to be a Chova bird, because I already used the Ola. This one, I already used the Ola, so this is a Chova bird. And this one could be an Ola or a Chova, or from the Chova. So if it's from the Chova and I already used the Ola, here I made it an Ola, so here I can do whatever I want. Here, the first bird was from the Chova, I made it an Ola. The second bird was the Ola, so this is the second bird from the Chova, and I can do whatever I want. Here, the first bird was from the Chova, the second bird was from the Chova, I made both of them as Ola. So the third bird from the Chova has to be a Chatas, whereas it could still be an Ola because I haven't used it according to that branch. Prove it to yourself. That's how far I can go. Because once I try to use the third bird, I risk making a mistake, and I don't want to take responsibility for somebody making a mistake and not fulfilling their obligation. Okay? So that's Ola, where the Chova is a large number, and the Ola is a Ola, which is Nadava, because Nadava is Kunan Ola, from we learned from the first Mishnah. That's where the Ola is a small number. Now, let's try the reverse case. Whiteboard is getting kind of gray. The reverse case is where I have a bunch of Ola birds. Let's say I have 3, 4 Ola birds, and I have 2 Ola birds. So I take the first bird out. Who can it be? Well, it could be one of the Ola birds. It could be one of the Chova birds. If it's one of the Chova birds, I can make it a Chatas or an Ola. Do whatever you want. Ola, I have to use as an Ola. So the first bird, let's make it an Ola, and we're safe. What about the second bird? Well, second bird could, if a first bird I used as an Ola, the second bird could either be another Ola, or it could be one of the Chova birds. If the first bird that I used is from the Chova, the second bird could be an Ola bird, or the second bird could be another Chova bird. This I have to use as Ola, this I can do whatever I want, this I have to use as Ola, but this one, since the first one I used as an Ola, this one has to be a Chatas. Whoops, same problem. I can only use as many Ola birds as there were in the Chova. Okay? What about if they're the same number? That's the third case that they give us. Easy enough. I've got 2 Chova birds and 2 Ola birds. I take the first one out. It's either one of the Chova birds or it's one of the Olas. Since I haven't used any of the Chova birds, I can do whatever I want. So the first bird, I will make an Ola. What about the second bird? Well, if the first bird was an Ola, the second bird could also be the other Ola, or it could be one of the Chova birds. If the first bird was from the Chova, the second bird could be one of the Olas, or it could be the first bird of the Chova bird that I have used. If this is the second Ola, use it as an Ola. If this is the first Chova bird, I can do whatever I want. If this is the first Ola bird that I'm seeing, but it's an Ola, I have to use it as an Ola. If this is the second Chova bird, the first one I used as an Ola, so this one has to be used as a Chatas. Eureka, same result. I can only use as many Ola as there were in the Chova. Okay? So that's the logic of this Mishnah. Now, curious, how do you fix it? Remember, we said that ma ben adorim and nedavot, eda sheha nedavot, the nether birds, if they're made to a nignavu, if they die or are stolen, then you have to replace them because you're still alive, you're still obliged. However, the nedava birds, if they die or are stolen, you don't have any further obligation. So if these, in any of these cases that we just had, if the Ola of the Nadava gets mixed up with Chova birds, the person who was bringing the Chova birds is still required to replace
all of their hoverbers except, no, they have to request all of their hoverbirds, because the Ola birds that were used might have been the Ola birds of the Nedava. Okay? However, if these were Neder, and this is a funny switch in the language, then there's a partnership of the Ola birds. So if I had four Hova birds, two of them were Ola, and one of the Ola birds gets mixed up with that, I only have one Ola bird, which is good. So I still have to bring two more Ola birds. The Hova still has to, he has to bring one, and they go into partnership on the last one. Okay? So this change of language is really very delicate, and it suggests a whole bunch of homework to start working out what's the fix that you use to fix things. And this is just an, all of a sudden you notice there's a swap of language here. And the swap of language means there's a bunch of stuff that they're not covering. If there was a Gemara for this, they'd probably go into a couple of dapim of variations of what happens here. Okay, so we had operational definitions of individuals in the first Mishnah, and we had operational definition of groups. In here in the second Mishnah, we have the case of individuals mixed with individuals, which means where can we and cannot use batel. And we have the mixture, we have the problem of individuals mixed with groups, which is a composite doubt where you use sveika, sort of structured klutzkashes, if you will. Okay. Now, regarding the second half of this presentation, I'll now bring you some of my peculiar observations, which I have not found mentioned by the commentators. Okay. What about the person? Remember, in analysis, a person has an obligation. Part of their obligation as a person is to fix their mistakes, like chattis birds, and part of it is to try and make progress, like ola birds. That's the person's obligation. So what happens if they get mixed up? In their mind, nothing's been brought to the Mizbeach, in their mind they confuse what their obligation is with something else that they want to do, which is a good thing, okay? Just start again. It's a confusion. Just take out another sheet of paper, clean the mind up, get yourself sorted out, okay? If a person, chata shenitar vabachova, en kasher the kamin chatas vachova, v'kein ola shenitar vabachova, en kasher the kamin ola shebachova, at least you can consider that part of your plans to accomplish your obligation was valid. Okay, because some of the stuff in your obligation set is going to come out okay, and the rest of it you're still confused, and you got to figure out how to fix yourself. Now comes the wonderful part of the Mishnah. Ben shahachova merubava hanadava memuetas. There is a person who is in a stage of life where their obligations in living, to get to the end, to support their family, to get everything done, to get everything fixed, to fix their errors, to move forward, is huge for them. And their opportunities to do other things which are good, like the Nedava, is very small. Okay? There's another kind of a person where they have an easy portion of their life. What they have as an obligation is very tiny for them. And all the rest of their time and energy they can devote to doing good deeds. If you recall, the Ben Ish Chai mentions that there are three kinds of mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs d'oraisa from the Torah. There are mitzvahs d'rabbanan. And the third category that he gives is all the things which are good things in a person's heart, which seem to be consistent with the d'oraisa and the rabbanan. So the neither d'oraisa nor rabbanan tells you to help this old lady carry her groceries across the street. Okay, there are good deeds you can do. That's okay. And so there's somebody who their major effort in life is to put their card into the cash machine, take out their cash, and check their bank balance at the end of the month. They've now finished their obligations. They've fixed their errors. They said sorry to somebody if they forgot to say something or do something. And now they can spend all the rest of the time doing good deeds, wherever they find it. Okay. Here's the trick. Ben sheshnehem shavot. How should a person look at themselves? They should look at themselves that half of my time I'm spending fixing my errors and trying to move forward in my life, to make progress, to mature, to grow, to learn Torah, to do other things. And half of my time, if I see a spontaneous opportunity to do good, I can do it. That's a very, very different kind of hashkafa definition of a Beinoni. Okay, so let's recall the definitions that we had. We had a duality in definitions in the first Mishnah. Chatas and Ola are error fixes and advancement. Bird and beasts are like rich and poor. Poor and rich, rather. Bird is like poor, beast is like a rich person. Above and below is like public and private. Valid and puzzle. You have valid stuff and they have puzzle, which is invalid. You have obligatory, which is sort of like masculine, and a neder. And you have voluntary, which is like nedava, which is feminine. And you have residual obligations and you have no residual obligations. For the neder, there's a residual obligation, and for the neder, there's no residual obligation. Here in the second Mishnah, we saw when you can't use batel, and when how far you can use sveik sveika, and we've seen kinds of hashkafa confusions, and some way that we can bring this back onto what's the best normal life for the individual. So here, we're beginning to build the protocol of halacha logic for what we called in the introduction sharp boundaries, where no errors are allowed in the circumstances. Situations which are very rare in halacha. However, as described in the introduction, these are typical kinds of efforts of building the logic which attention deficit people suffer from, and which high-level consulting professionals try to apply. In this last category are presumably included poskim. The responsibility takers for reasoning of best life practices advice, which is the halacha, for novel situations and circumstances. That's really where poskim are getting involved. And again, like our situation for halacha, where we don't have to reason through, it's not like our situation. We don't have to reason through basics, we don't have to go through Masechet Kinim and so forth. We can look things up in Mishnah Torah, Mishnah Berurah, and Shulchan Aruch, and that basically covers what's happening to us in our ordinary circumstances. The poskim today likewise have a very rich set of halacha literature and discussions from which they can, God willing, find a way of orientation for their decision. However, most often the poskim are finding unobvious distinctions rather than trying to dissolve problems between what we see here in Masechet Kinim, otherwise identical aspects. Thanks.